Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 of the Bible says this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." He said, "Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased." My, what a thing. You know, we're in that day. We are beyond that day. Many running to and fro, knowledge is increased. The Bible says in the last days that we'll be ever learning without ever being able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Men running to and fro. Titus is getting on an airplane tomorrow. How long will it take him to get to Texas? Not too long, will it? Not too long. We live in an age where a man can fly anywhere around the world in a day. There's an aircraft out there that can travel 6 or 7 times the speed of sound. To and fro, it's a sign of the last days. Knowledge be increased, the age of the internet. All the knowledge in the world is at your fingertips today. Knowledge increased. We've gone from grandparents relaying history and stories down to their grandchildren to the advent of you have the written word, books, iPhones now, computer in the palm of your hand, a computer. That's crazy. Man, that's crazy, this phone. Isn't that wild? We become a world of gadgetry and technology. And I've been seeing some of the news articles, and I'm sure you have, is where the cell phones today and the iPads are dumbing down our kids. The communication skills are just about gone. Nobody's talking to each other. And along with this explosion of knowledge is a reliance more and more on imagery. Imagery, instead of hearing, now folks are seeing. Looking at that phone, we become a nation, a world that moves on images. And kids today are reaching the point where they no longer even speak one to another. You'll have 2 kids, one at each end of the pew. Instead of talking to each other or across the table from each other, they'll text each other. Isn't that right? That's wild. Communication, more and more imagery without the spoken word. An acquaintance of mine, a fellow I knew, said he went to Japan. And when he was in Japan, he was in a bookstore and he saw some men over there reading what looked like comic books. And he asked his guide, he asked his interpreter there what all that was that was going on. And the interpreter said that because of all the technology, many of the Japanese have lost the use of language and were now using picture-assisted books instead of the written word. And so this age, we've learned to focus on images. And you notice when one sense is heightened, it takes a toll on the other senses. The other senses are suppressed when one is heightened. And we've learned to focus on images and at the same time have learned to tune out everything else. And I guess that's when you go to the library, the sign says, "Be quiet." One sense is heightened and the others are tuned down. And kids today will be doing their homework. And while they're doing their homework, there'll be music playing in their ears. And you'll ask them about it. "Man, you better concentrate on your homework." Said, "Oh, the music, I don't even know it's on." See, they've tuned it out. They hear it, but they don't hear it because their mind has tuned it out. You ask, well, what's the problem with that? You say, is there a problem? Well, what's wrong is the fact that we become so attuned to the visual imagery that we've neglected the hearing. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, am I starting to sound silly here? The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing." You know, it's always been said that women go by what they hear, or men go by what they see. I don't know about that. I've heard that. So faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So we're so filled with imagery that folks in church today, they want entertainment instead of Bible preaching. It's hard for them to handle Bible preaching, and if they're not getting entertained, they'll simply just tune out the preaching. Go in one ear, out the other. I remember as a little boy, TV was just getting a good foothold in the 50s, 3 and 4 years old, and my dad was a gadget guy. We had a TV before a lot of folks. Man, I love those old TV shows. I love Lucy and all those TV westerns, all those Warner Brother westerns. Anybody old enough to remember those? Man, I can tell you the intros. I had it all down. From the entertainment capital of the world, produced for television by Warner Brothers. And they'd have just one TV western after another. I knew the theme songs from all those TV shows. And I remember our first Crosley TV. And it wasn't very big, but man, I sat around and I was glued to it. But there's some good things on there too. You had the old singing gospel conventions, those Southern gospel TV shows back from the old days. Hobie Lister, one of those old pioneers. And see, there on the TV there was good, and then they turned it into a lot of foolishness and a lot of evil. But the TV programming back in the 50s, early 50s, later, also always promoted righteousness, clean family values. You know, father knows best. You know, Ozzie and Harriet and the kids. Boy, that changed. You can't find a biblical, scriptural family show on TV if you look for it. And today, just about every program has a political anti-Christian promotion somewhere in the program. They figure, well, they've got you. You got to watch it. You've got to watch us. You've got us on. My, my. See, somewhere along the line, the devil saw the potential in this medium, and over the next 50 or 60 years, we've seen TV programming devolve into more wickedness and abomination than there is righteousness. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast, and the idols, all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, and with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Do you see what that scripture is talking about? Can you guess what that scripture is talking about? The imagery on the wall. Ezekiel 23. Go to Ezekiel 23 and verse 14. And that she increased her whoredoms, for when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins exceeding, and dyed attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look to. after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea in the land of their nativity. And as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them and to Chaldea. Man, always some good-looking folks on those soaps, aren't they? Man, they pick the finest-looking folks that they can find. So a problem today is the same problem that Adam and Eve faced in the garden after the fall. And here's what I'm looking at just for a minute. You see, Adam and Eve found that the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil were both on the same tree. Isn't that right? Knowledge and evil both on the same tree. Here's a problem. I had to find this verse a little bit ago after I came in. Where is it? Genesis 11, chapter 6. It talks about the Tower of Babel. You know where everybody spoke the same language and everybody's all getting together? In chapter 11 and verse 6, in Genesis 11, 6, it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." One touch of the button. All the world's knowledge. Anything you can imagine in your head, you can find with the imagery. You can Google any kind of wickedness that your heart can come up with, and they'll show you a good picture of it. They'll satisfy that lust and that craziness. The crazier your imagination, my, my, my. Your children now have at their fingertips the knowledge of good and of evil. Just let them go with it. Here, honey, you just take that phone. You just do what you want to with it. Look out. Look out. Why do you think that God put so much emphasis and warning about taking to thyself graven images? A preacher named Chuck Colson, I heard him do a message on this. Incredible. I love his preaching, man, but the truth of the matter is this. He says, Chuck Colson, he's from Alberta, Canada, and he says, "The truth of the matter is that Little House on the Prairie and the House on Haunted Hill are very much alike. They're very similar. You know why? Because neither one of them is real. They're not real. They're false images. They're products of someone's imagination." Isn't that right? Our kids now believe in vampires, monsters, superheroes because of false imagery. Rambo does not exist. Neither does Mickey Mouse or Superman. Man, that disappointed me. I was a big Superman fan. "Ooh, a strange being from another planet who came to earth with the powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men." I knew all those intros. But they're figments of Hollywood's imagination. That's all they are. Ezekiel 23:14, "And that she increased her whoredoms when she saw the men portrayed upon the wall, the image of the Chaldean portrayed in vermilion." Superheroes. Notice here the appearance of these images of men, the images girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding and dyed attire upon their heads, and all of them princes to look to. Why do you think the Jews rejected their Messiah? Because he did not fit the imagery of the King of Kings that they had imagined in their minds. They were looking for the superhero, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, able to bend steel with his bare hands. They were looking for a Saul, a superhero, to come and take them out from the Roman bondage. He didn't fit the imagery of King of Kings. Carpenter's kid born in a manger? Are you kidding me? Born in a barn to a carpenter? Is this, it says in Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Jeremiah 10:14, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Daily, we are consumed with imagery that is not real. A lot of it's falsehood. Everything is perspective. Even the news that you're being fed is from one perspective or another perspective. That's why if I was going to suggest anything, you find out what the real truth is, and everything you hear, everything you see, you judge in relation to the only truth that we know to be infallible, inerrant truth, and that's the Word of God. You can't trust the news. You can't trust anything. You can't trust the studies. They'll have a new study out tomorrow that something causes brain cancer, and you'll find out the ones doing the study is somebody promoting a product that they want support for, so they fund a study. They'll tell you about a study. It's crazy. You can't believe anything. God looked down and saw the hearts of men that they were deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He looked down and saw that the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man were only evil continually. Be careful. We're being bombarded, and the devil is bombarding us with a bunch of foolishness, with imagery and lies and falsehood and deceit. And he's given some spiritual discernment to some in the church to try to figure that out and guard yourself from it. I'm starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist, and I'm really not one. But they're leaving God the history book. History is all according to perspective. How the West was won, or the Indian version, how it was lost. I mean, it's all perspective. It's crazy. Jesus Christ did not fit the image that the Pharisees had portrayed. He was not the superhero they were expecting. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. The prophet Isaiah would say, Isaiah 53:2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. They rejected the God of glory because he didn't fit the profile, didn't fit the image they were looking for. Just as the world in the time of Christ rejected Jesus Christ, the express image of the only true God, the world is lining up today to usher in a false Christ. Right on the edge of it, folks. He may already be in the world. He may be here right now in the world. See, all the imagery is in place. All the lies are being promoted. And you just choose whatever crowd you want to run with is how it goes. And when that Antichrist appears, he will not appear as a monster. He will not appear as a bad guy. I mean, can't we just all get along and love each other? I mean, what's wrong with a man loving on a man or a woman loving on a woman? And what's wrong with someone just self-identifying as a whatever? It's craziness, it's wickedness, and it's abomination to God is what it is, and it's confusion, and a lot of America is falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. When that bird shows up, he'll appear as a superhero. The whole world has gone after him. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. He won't come out of the biker gang, he'll come out of the Bible study. I stole that line from Chuck Colson. I like it. I've used that before. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Back to Daniel 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Watch it. Hey, we've come a long way, baby. Man, aren't we just things getting better and better? No, they're not. Men are waxing worse and worse. 70-inch TV screens, the internet, iPhones, Facebook, social media. Hey, are you programming that phone, that iPad, or is it programming you? What images are your children, I wonder, buying into? Man, I had a lot of leeway when I was a kid. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I wasn't around. I had my own foolish wickedness I had chased, but I would have probably fallen. Man. What images are they buying into? Even we in church are guilty sometimes of presenting a false image of Christ. Anybody see the story this week of the missionary and this that went into the jungle, this tribe of 12, said the meanest tribe in the world, and they killed him, dragged him up and down the beach. Somebody saw him, killed him. He is trying to get them a Bible in their language, trying to help them to get them the gospel. They killed him. They killed him. And some were very critical of him. Why would somebody, the stupid guy, should have never gone there? He went there for the cause of Christ. He considered his life nothing for the cause of Christ. He's a martyr. He's a hero. My. A lot brought up missionaries. Sometimes missionaries will go into a jungle and they'll present a false image of Christ. They'll tell those folks just barely feeding themselves, they'll tell them, if you trust Jesus Christ, all your problems are going to be over. No, it don't work that way. See, the world that we as Christians are promoting are not this world. Our portion, our place, our part is not in this world. There's a better world. There's a world to come where your problems are going to be taken care of. Too worried about folks putting collars on their shirts and I don't know. Don't want to go there. It's crazy. The world should be taught the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. For we know that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. You suffer with him, you reign with him. He was a suffering servant. To know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Our portion is not in this life, but the life to come. 2 Corinthians, I'm done. I'm almost done here. I'm going to quit early. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Behold, I set before you this day, Deuteronomy 11:26, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. All this technology, all this knowledge, all this, the world at your fingertips, will it be a blessing to your children or will it condemn them? Now, don't get me wrong. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I understand that. But it can condemn them to a life of deception and falsehood and imagery and wickedness. It's hard to keep from it if it's right in their face. You don't take an alcoholic and have him sit in the bar every day for 6 months after he's quit drinking. It just don't work. You got to be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. You see, the devil is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent, means he's everywhere all the time. The devil isn't that way. The devil's a created being, so what does he do? He works collectively through the media. Through different various mediums, he works. Through the advertising, through the Hollywood crowd. He works through those Hollywood producers and script writers. And why? Because he wants the hearts and the minds of your kids. He wants to pull them away from anything that is Christ-like, to keep them from the church. He desires worship. My, I think I've said enough tonight. I'm done. Everyone stand up. We live in a tough age. Every age is a tough age, but I think this is tougher. A tougher age. Every time it's getting tougher and getting, seems like, more wicked. You got to try to take control. Got to take control of what's going on. Sonny, you got your hand up.
If you hear the Gaithers, they sing the old song.
Yeah.
I sit there.
Those old songs. That's what we need, to go back to the old ways, the old paths, the foundations. That's what the Bible says. Look out. Look out for the imagery that your kids are getting caught up in. Not only your kid, but it's easy. It's easy for adults. It's crazy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. What are we singing, Jeff? The altar's open tonight.
276.
You've here, you've never trusted Christ, you better get that right. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He'll save you tonight if you're not saved. Won't you come?